Welcome to the All 7 Days podcast, where we're just a couple of church members having conversations about spiritual matters, where the Bible gets to define truth and our minds and perspectives get to conform to that truth. You can send your question in at ask@all7days.com, 864-660-9473. Leave us a voicemail or text there. Join the All 7 Days Hangout on Facebook, and you can support us, all7days.com /shop, to buy mugs and t-shirts, or monthly, anchor.fm/all7days. We appreciate those of you who do that. It helps us pay for web servers and podcasting equipment and all that kind of good stuff. So thank you for sending in your monthly donation. I've almost got enough to pay my web hosting fees. Maybe. Almost. So get those in there. We appreciate it. We have a new voice on the podcast today. He's grinning at me now. This is, you met Rachel last week. This is Rachel's husband, Jonathan. And you have yet to hear them in the same room together. So is there some problem in your marriage?
No, there is not.
Can you prove it?
Yes. I will say she is out of town right now visiting family.
Yes, she is.
So I'm here. She's the extrovert of the relationship, just so you guys know. So she talks a lot more clearly and louder than I do, but I will try.
You're going to do fine. You're going to do just fine. So I did see you drive away with her this morning. Where did you take her?
I cannot disclose those coordinates. Based on grounds, I may incriminate myself. That was nice enough to drop her off at the airport door.
Yeah. So her family's from Pennsylvania. Your family is from?
Virginia. Due to work, I couldn't go with her this time, and plane tickets being drastically high.
Fuel is, I'm sure, driving the cost of plane tickets out the roof.
I think when we ordered her ticket, we sat there, added to the cart, and it fluctuated while it was in our cart.
Really?
Yes. That's so, because we were using miles, and it went from, let's say, 15,000 to 25,000 to 22 to, and it's like, okay, get it while it's at its lowest now, because once it went back down, it's like, hit submit before it changes again.
That's crazy. So, Jonathan does what for a living?
I am a engineer by trade, mechanical. I work for Detroit Diesel. I get to, travel for work and work from home the rest of the time, but I really enjoy it.
So, when you travel, what do you do? What are you going to do?
So, I cover Georgia, Alabama, and some of Florida. I have roughly 13 dealership rooftops.
Rooftops?
Yeah. Just dealership locations.
Okay.
So, I'm pretty much a trainer, if you want to say.
So, I thought, you've got diesel engines on rooftops, and I'm like, what?
We can. Why not?
So, what are your diesel engines in?
Tractor trailers.
Okay.
So, big rigs, Western Star Freightliners specifically. I have 13 locations that I help train on new product offerings. So, anything that's coming out related to our powertrain.
So, the guys you're going to see are dealers.
Yeah, they're dealer salesmen. Okay. And I do travel to see customers as well and help explain.
So, those who have bought.
Correct.
A tractor.
Yeah. Just like if you went
to. Is that the correct term? A tractor?
Mm-hmm. So a tractor has a fifth wheel that pulls a trailer, and a truck is something that's stationary.
So why do they call it a fifth wheel? I know what a fifth wheel is, but why do they call it a wheel? Because it's really not a wheel.
It's round.
It's round.
They named it a fifth wheel, I'm sure. I asked Rachel, I'd quiz Rachel all the time on my job just because she always asked about it, and she goes, I'm like, okay, what's a fifth wheel? And she looks on, and I tell her what a fifth wheel is. She goes, that's not a wheel.
That's not a wheel.
It's a plate.
I've always been confused by
that. Well,
yes,
it is a plate. But
it is. It's where the trailer hitches to the back of the bed. Mm-hmm. So they call that a wheel because it's round.
Exactly.
Hey. And greasy.
And greasy, yes, very greasy.
It's got a lot of grease.
You never want to touch it.
No. But. Interesting. So how's father life?
It is the most rewarding, tiring, unexpected expectation that I could ever imagine.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it.
When everybody, constantly tells you, get all the sleep you can while you're, you're pregnant and waiting, it's like, okay, I get it. I know I'm going to lose some sleep. It's like, no.
You don't lose some sleep. You lose all sleep.
Yeah, you gain a little bit when you can.
That's right.
No, he's a chunk. He had his 2-month appointment not too long ago, and he is 15 pounds, roughly 24 inches. He's a big boy. So, Bradley, there's another large human coming to baptize one day, hopefully. I heard that. So had to throw that out there.
That's right. Jonathan was the human that I almost killed in the baptistry a few months ago. So.
I can't remember if it was you or Cody. It's like, but hey, at least he was saved. Right?
That's right.
He went down, if but he was
if
saved.
If we'd have lost him, he was still saved. That's cool. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And as we go through this, I think Trevor will be back next week, so you guys will get to meet Trevor. And will Rachel be back next week? She's coming back.
Yeah, she'll be back.
Okay, so we'll have a full house next week, and we'll all be together virtually in one room. Which will be good. I have no idea what the question will be next week, but I'm sure it will be something profound. Kind of like this question we're about to get into right after this quick break. This is the All 7 Days Podcast. Welcome back to the All 7 Days Podcast. Stan and Jonathan here. Going to look at a question from a longtime listener, Justin. This question actually got stuck in email. Something happened to our email, and I put that out there that something was wrong with our email not too long ago. And when I finally figured out what was going on, this question was like a year old stuck in there. So sorry, Justin, for the delay in responding, but I've kind of paraphrased his question just to help us with that. But here's the question. How do we as believers interact with those around us during controversial times, i.e. COVID mask restrictions? Without getting caught up in the screaming match that often ensues. It seems a good many Christians are demanding our rights, and it seems to be detracting from the gospel. How can we draw the focus back to Christ? So you can understand, a year ago, we're in the midst of COVID lockdowns and mask mandates and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
And there were a lot of folks protesting a lot of that, which I get. Somewhat sympathetic to that, but also somewhat understanding, right?
I'd agree with that.
When the pandemic first hit, it was so much unknown, right?
Right.
And I got COVID like July of 2020. Pam had it, we think, the January of that year. They didn't know what it was at that point. She was really sick for a long time. Finally started to get better. I got it in July, and I was really sick for a couple of weeks, and barely was able to stay out of the hospital, thanks to a nurse practitioner sister who came to the house and gave me IVs and that kind of stuff. So I can understand the concern around it. And my mom got COVID that November and passed away from it. Of course, she was 83. I don't want to belittle that point, but it was a contributing factor in her passing. And so it was a somewhat scary time. Although for myself, I was never fearful of it, but sure, I wanted to do my part, right? If there was something I could do, I wasn't convinced that masks were going to help,
right?
But anyway, there were just a lot of people.
It was the unknown. You wanted to respect it,
yeah.
But you weren't necessarily afraid
of
it.
Yeah, but there were a lot of people who were just adamant about hanging on to their rights, hanging on, and I get that, right? If it were up to me, I would have. If I had been Dr. Fauci, mm-hmm. right? Which I'm not. I'm not that guy, right? Nor do I pretend to be. I don't even play a doctor on TV, right? But I think it would probably have been better received if those people who were making those decisions could have said something to the effect of, "Hey, we believe masks are an effective deterrent, if they really believe that, we believe masks are an effective deterrent, and we believe that if you wear one, you will not only protect yourself but others. We believe that's the best thing for you to do. And left it at that, not mandated anything, and let people make the personal choice as to whether or not they wore them, it might have been better received. I don't know. Can't go back. Can't relive it. But
I think the potential is definitely there. I mean, at that point, people make their own decisions, quote unquote. And okay, then I kind of see where they're going, and I don't want to hurt anybody, so I'm going to wear a mask to hopefully protect others. Yeah. I mean, rather than you're going to make me wear a mask when I'm really unsure, or we're all unsure of this new virus that's coming around. How do we know? And
Is it really going to do any good?
Right.
You know,
especially since you heard, you know, one side saying, oh, yes, and the other side from medical doctors and others posting stuff saying this does nothing. So it's just it's like, what do I do? You have the side of like, no choice is right, almost.
Exactly. Who do I believe? So it ended up being quite divisive, right, by mandating it. So there were lots of, it's like Justin says, there was lots of screaming. There was lots of protesting. There was lots on both sides, right?
Oh, for sure.
Thankfully, by that time, I was almost completely weaned off of cable news. So I didn't see a lot of that myself. I knew it was going on, right? You see the clips, you see YouTube feeds or show, you know, that kind of stuff. And I mean, quite honestly, the cable news shows are not about news. They're about eyeballs, right?
Viewership,
they're about making sure you come back to find out the resolution to this catastrophic problem that is now on our radar, right? Mm-hmm. So their job is to get you to keep watching. And the best way to do that in that genre is to make you angry about something, right? To make you feel something so that you will want to know how the resolution comes about, right?
Okay.
So they do that, and they do it quite well. They know who to bring on, just enough opposing viewpoint so that they can create the argument and keep that going. Now, Justin's question here talks first of all about us demanding our rights and detracting from the gospel. So how do we go about situations like this? This is not going to be the last time this happens as far as controversial laws, mandates, right? We just had the leak around a potential Supreme Court decision that may reverse Roe v. Wade, right? Count that as bad law. It's what basically is going to, it's basically not going to eliminate abortions, but what it's going to do is put the decision back to the states, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, in my mind, that's a great thing. It's a win to the pro-life voice.
Right.
Right. But what's happening now? Protests at the Supreme Court justices' houses and across all kinds of places, right? Screaming matches, no dialogue. I've even seen Facebook posts that says, if you're on the opposite side of this, don't even talk to me.
Right, they want no interaction.
Right, they don't want interaction. They just want their way. Mm-hmm. They don't want to talk about any of it, right? You're wrong, I'm right. It's case settled. There's no way
I almost view it as like when a little kid throws a tantrum until they get their way. They don't want to hear the reasoning with their parents of why you shouldn't do something, but I'm just going to scream until I get what I want.
Or not even scream, just... there's nothing you can say, and since you think the opposite, you're dead to me.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's a very sad place to come from, I think. There's no dialogue there. There's no chance for anyone to even have a relationship in that.
Or my view is like there's no chance of even growth as a person.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if you're not trying to understand or just see from another side where somebody's coming from, your eyes will never be open to that viewpoint.
Right.
And that's where we get, you know, the dialogue from, is to help us understand and so, to make sound decisions.
Yeah. And this particular, since I brought this up, I don't want to grow in the opposite direction. I get that, right?
Oh, for sure.
Because, I mean, the only way you can, somebody said once, not too long ago, we know what we're killing. We're killing a human being, right, in an abortion. So, the only way you can turn that off in your head is to deny the existence of God, or that he, I mean, you can say that you believe in God, but to see that he says in his word that he knits people together in the womb, he's personally involved with the growth of whatever that is in the womb, and you're gonna kill it. Well, they say it's not alive. Well, how can it grow if it's not alive?
Right.
There's just so many arguments there, right? There's so many, and we're not here to debate those issues. We're here to talk about how do we turn the conversation back to Christ? Because I think Justin's onto something here. The gospel is the only thing that takes these conversations to where they really need to go. Because the person who says that that's just a clump of cells needs the gospel. And the person who says, you must wear this mask or you're dead to me, needs the gospel, right? And the person who decides not to wear a mask because they want their rights maintained, they need the gospel.
Right.
So how do we, as Christians, calm down, take the temperature down, so that we can have this conversation in a way that glorifies Christ?
It's like you said, I mean, everything leads back to the gospel. I mean, we know that. That's, if you want to call it, it's our encyclopedia, it's our glossary. Like, whatever answer we need, it can be found in the gospel. There's many things that I think about constantly, and from Justin's question, it's just, I try to be respectful of other people's questions and stuff, and at least listening to them and hearing their side of the story.
Mm-hmm.
But in doing some research this week, and what I thought about was, first, like Colossians 4, it's mainly, you know, we treat others with respect and dignity. So we don't know everything, but we always have one person that we look to as a master who does know it all, and that's mm-hmm. God.
Yeah.
And where do we get that information? From the gospel.
Yeah.
From his book.
Yeah.
And so if we're sitting here having a discussion or in our quote-unquote argument, I don't know everything.
Yeah.
Nobody does except one person.
Right.
And so I feel, as far as having these heated discussions or debates, it's like my point will never get across to another person. There's only one area where they can hopefully go to
right.
to get their answers. Because obviously some people don't want to hear my answers. But if you can help be a light and show them the gospel, then maybe they can start finding their own.
Yeah. I like that. I've talked about Ray Comfort on this podcast before. Mm-hmm. Do you know who Ray Comfort is?
Brief. I mean, a little bit.
Yeah. The best way I can describe him is that he's a street preacher.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He goes out every day. He's got a little cute dog. He puts sunglasses on it, attaches him to his bicycle, rides out, the dog brings attention, and then he uses the dog to get people around him to where he can preach the gospel, right? And he does it one-on-one. He'll do it in a street with a crowd, however he deems to do it. And there's this atheist YouTuber female. I do not remember her name, or I would say it. She was... She attacked him for a bit of comedy that he had done in the past that she thought was like a legitimate thing about him talking about creation. He used to be known as the Banana Man because he had this routine that he would do talking about a banana and how it proved that evolution was false. And it was funny. But she came on her YouTube channel and had done this thing many times about talking about him, running him down. And she said that he hated her. And anyway,
assuming those words never came out of his mouth.
Right.
Yeah.
He sent her a $100 gift card with a note that said, "I don't hate you, and I'd love to come on your show."
That is awesome.
She was blown away, and she let him on the show. And they had this great conversation. And her big hang-up was, you want me to believe all these crazy stories from the Bible. And he said, no, I'm not asking you to believe anything from the Bible except one thing. If you'll believe this one thing, the rest will all fall into place. If you'll believe that you're a sinner and that you need your sins to be forgiven and that Jesus Christ is the only way to get that, to let that happen, that he paid your sin debt, that's all I'm asking you to believe. Just believe that. She didn't, at least as far as I know, she hasn't to this point. But that's the crux of the entire matter. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as payment for our sin so that we can have a relationship with him, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all tied up in that.
Right.
And if they can't get past that, then they have no reference for any morality that they bring about, right? Because God is the source of all morality. He's the source of truth. He's the source of should we wear masks or not. He's the source of is it life or is it not? And until we wrap our heads around and have our eyes open to that, and the crazy thing about that is God is the only one who can do that too, right?
Right.
Then the rest of it is it's worthless to argue about.
Right. And I believe that's part of why these quote-unquote debates are happening, is others may view that we're going to try to impose other questions on them about, no, it's just, like you said, it's just that one question. How do you feel about your sins? And
God.
Well, there goes my phone. See if I can blame it on Rachel. It is not Rachel. I hope it was, because I could blame her. But yeah, with these debates, I feel that they want, or they have the assumption that we're going to just throw all of our beliefs on them. But it's just like you said. It's like, okay, the first thing is, how do you feel about your sins? Do you believe in God? Do you believe that Jesus is the only way that your mm-hmm. debts and sins can be forgiven and that you know you're in the wrong?
Yeah.
And it's hard to put around in context. It's just, I just try to look at the situations where I see what you're saying. I personally don't agree, but this is why I don't agree. Mm-hmm. And then let them, if it piques an interest, then they'll go to do the research themselves.
It could, yeah.
Potentially.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think there's so many closed minds around that because the gospel hasn't broken through to them. I think that's the crux of it. And I think Justin is again really, really on to something. So I've got Romans 12:9 and following here to help us. Let love be genuine. There's a good start. Love your enemy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really kind of what we're talking about here. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. So we're not supposed to compromise on what we feel is an evil practice, right?
Right.
So don't compromise on it. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. So love the church. Love people in the church. Outdo one another in showing honor, okay? Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Okay? That's a pretty good way to live. Then it gets harder. Bless those who persecute you.
Ooh, that one hurts.
Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I heard it said, a little paraphrase of that one verse in there, if somebody done you wrong, don't worry, he'll die.
Okay, it's a new way to look at it. That's okay.
And that's basically what that says, right? Vengeance is mine, I'll repay, says the Lord. Right. And when does that happen? Ultimately, his sins are going to be paid for by Jesus, or he'll pay for them for eternity in hell.
Right.
There's nothing we can do that'll top that.
No.
And when we take matters into our own hands, we're saying that hell's not good enough for that person. Hell's not bad enough. Let me rephrase that. Hell's not enough punishment
there you go.
For hell's that person. And that is a very dangerous place for us to be.
Yeah, it's the whole mindset. Like, that's just the total opposite of the way we need to think. It's if we're letting God have control of our lives, and he's the ultimate, you know, forgiveness for our sins, and he's the ultimate, you know, those who are not allowed into heaven for their ways. Yeah.
Really, really tough place to be. Justin, I don't know that we've answered your question, but I think we've gotten to the crux of it. In that it is, our arguments are detracting from the gospel, because that should be the place we start. But if that's not common ground with those who we disagree with, then there's no hope. I don't think we might change minds on occasion, but I've never seen it happen outside of the gospel changing lives and changing hearts and changing minds. I don't think I've ever seen an argument, a pro-lifer, a pro-choicer, coming together to debate, and anybody ever having their mind changed. I don't think. Maybe it's I'm sure it's happened. It probably
never happens on the spot. No, but
I mean, it's just one of those.
You can't say that it hasn't played with our heartstrings later on. And
maybe
they
so.
Start.
Maybe so. And maybe that's God moving them towards the gospel from that side. But you know, it's just they're just so. Both sides are just so hard-nosed, right, and uncompromising. And I'm not saying we should be compromising for that. I'm just saying that if the start is not that God gets to decide this and I don't, and unless I align my life with his out of grace from him, then it's impossible for us to move forward, I think. And I'm not saying we shouldn't have the debate. I'm just saying don't expect a lot of return from it.
I'd agree. As you said, though, I don't believe we should exactly steer clear of debating. I mean, no. It's good for us, and it's helped. I mean, we spread the gospel, which, you know, we try to bring all brothers and sisters closer to Christ. Me being, quote-unquote, you know, newer to Christ as far as my journey, but thinking of Matthew 9 as where, you know, Jesus ate with the tax collectors and sinners, like he didn't strive away from anybody. Like it's not the well that need the hospital or the nurses, it's the sick. And we shouldn't steer clear of those debates and such. We need to be a light to others, but keep ensure that we point towards the gospel.
Great point.
Less of our own opinions and more straight from the word.
Yeah, excellent. Excellent point. Awesome. Anything else we left out?
Nothing to think of.
Okay.
Minus Cody and Rachel, but I mean, they can be back anytime.
They could. Trevor should be back next week, and Rachel will be here next week, and you'll be here next week.
I will.
And I'll be here next week. How about that? 3 weeks in a row, the podcast will launch, and tens of people will be edified by it. You did great today.
No, thank you for having me on.
Welcome to the show. All right, everyone. We appreciate everyone listening today. Remember, get your question, comments, conundrums, snarks, ask at all7days.com, 864-660-9473. Let others know about the podcast. Leave us a review on iTunes and support us, all7days.com/shop. Mugs and t-shirts there, or a monthly gift is always appreciated, at anchor.fm/all7days. This is the All 7 Days podcast, where the goal is to get you to think so highly of God that you forget about yourself. Now go give someone what you value most today.